Now's the time to find your color, your paint, and everything to get started during Red, White, and Blue Savings at the Home Depot. Transforming your room is easier than ever. With the best deals online and in-store, you can confidently select your color and the tools for your next paint project. Get a colorful new experience and the right paint for the right price. Save $10 on 1 gallon and $40 off 3 and 5 gallons for a limited time only at the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. Limit 25 gallons per household. See store for details.
This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, the business station. It's that time of night. I'm Rich Bradbury.
And I'm Madeline June.
We're joined in the studio tonight by a man who's clearly going to make us very hungry by the end of the show. His name is Chef Nick. Hello, sir.
I surely hope so. Hello, hello.
How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. Thanks for coming along, first and foremost. Now, I've been reading through the cheat sheet that Henry, our intern, has sent us. There's a whole bunch of stuff I want to talk about, but the one thing I kind of want to focus a bit of the interview on, whenever we've had a chef in here, is this idea of the kampung cooking, right? And the food that Malaysia throws out for us, which is clearly only as good as the chef that's making it, and often these chefs are completely untrained, and they're housewives, you know, they're the aunties, you know, and they make some of the most delicious food on the planet. Where would you go to get that kind of food here in KL?
Man, that's tough. I think, you know, it depends, because you see, like you said, all these aunties, they know what they're doing, but most of the time, it's normally that they have that one dish or those two dishes. So it would be like, what dish am I looking at?
Right.
But to ultimately get my local fix, I think that would be most probably this Negeri Sembilan shop in Melawati. And I think it's pretty much unnamed, that place.
It's a hidden gem, lah.
Yeah, pretty much. And it's like right at the corner. It's not really visible, but they've got like 20 dishes going at one go. And they've got things like 10 different gulai lemak.
Oh.
Yeah, and it's like they have duck, they have jantung pisang, they have ikan keli. It's crazy.
I mean,
so I think that would be it.
That would be the place. Yeah. I mean, I remember years ago watching Chef Gordon Ramsay ending up at Auntie Annie's over. You know where I mean?
Negeri Sembilan, yeah.
Right, and I'd been there many, many times, and then it appeared on his show, and then all of a sudden, it became this like place where everybody was wanting to go to. And I'm
that's the
can
thing.
Can you just stay out of my place?
If you have a famous chef, obviously you have Anthony Bourdain and the rest. You know, if you patronize one restaurant, everybody would go there. It's just jumping the bandwagon then.
Right, but I mean, this seemed to be for a long while a hidden gem, right? And it would be the place that you would drive all the way out to, you would sit there, you'd have your food, and you'd leave like feeling that was real food, as opposed to some of the stuff that we have to force ourselves to eat recently, right?
But, you know, I don't see a problem in that. I think, you know, all chefs, not just chefs, anyone should just promote where the best places are to eat. We should all share them.
Agreed.
And when it comes to those operators, I think they should be happy that they're getting more attention, volume. Yeah,
for sure.
It's just how you manage that.
Right.
We understand if you can't accommodate that many people at one go, but you got to constantly try to strive and push.
Mm. Right.
Yeah.
And that would be the thing. I mean, I'd drive up there and I'd park up the car and she'd be like, no, finished already. I'm like, are you kidding me? I've driven all this way. It's taken me an hour and a half to get here. You know, it's not the kind of place you can call forward, though, and say, you know, just save me some of the food. It just
but that,
goes.
It adds to the experience.
It
adds
does.
To the story of the place.
Right.
So I love that, yeah.
Lovely. Okay, folks, we do have a giveaway this evening. 016-201-9000. What are we giving away?
Well, we're giving away 2 single patty sets, all thanks to our friends at My Burger Lab. Now, if you want to win, all you have to do is just answer this question. Now, what is the name of the restaurant that Nick and his father started up in KL in 2012. Send your name and your IC number to 016-201-9000. Don't forget to tell us what is of the win, My Burger Lab menu.
We're coming back after the break with Chef Nick. We'll be talking about stuff like comfort food, why you decided to get into cooking in the first place as well. All right? Don't go anywhere. You're listening to That Time of Night here on BFM 89.9 at the Business Station. BFM 89.9, the business station. It's that time of night. I'm Rich Bradbury.
And I'm Madeline Jones.
This is
Chef Nick Michael Imran.
He's with us all the way through until 10 p.m. And make sure you've got your ingredients ready in your fridge. I might ask you actually about when you've got time and you're at home and you have a fridge full of stuff. You've got your fresh vegetables there. Quick snack, what would you make?
Okay, do you have any friends that are chefs?
Well, people that
now.
We interview, yeah.
Yeah, if you look at in their fridge, it's normally just condiments, man.
Right.
You know, you don't have fresh vegetables because you normally cook in the restaurant or wherever you are, right?
Right.
But I would say my quick fix would be either one of two things. One would be an aglio olio, especially if I've got some prawns, some really nice prawns in the fridge. If it's not that, then it would most definitely be some nasi bujang. Do you know what that is?
No.
Do you know
what? But that's a lot of work, right?
He's telling me. Tell me.
No.
Okay.
What is it? What is it?
Do you know what bujang is?
No, I don't know what bujang
bachelor.
Is.
Bachelor.
A bachelor.
So it's like bachelor rice.
Ah.
So it's just white rice. Some...
Anything you can throw in it.
No, it's very basic. Okay. So it's basically white rice. You have some sambal belacan, some soup kosong, which is like just plain stock.
Yeah.
An omelette. With some ketchup. I like some ketchup. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And that's it.
That's it.
That's it.
I could eat that all day, you know.
It's really good, man. I mean, after a long day at work, that is the best meal for me.
Throw it all
what
together.
About we're talking about simple meal then?
That is a simple
that
meal.
Is.
Oh my God, that sounds like a lot of work.
Hey, it's okay. They're all in like jars. You do your rice and you throw
hey, you hardly
in.
Could, don't talk about
okay,
it.
Okay, let me tell you, this is how chefs would do it, right? The rice, you have the rice cooker, right?
Yeah.
So just rinse the rice, put it in with water, press start, leave it. Ketchup is from the bottle. Sambal belacan, you can do it in a food processor, just put everything in and blend it up, and an omelet. Well, you need a yeah. You need a good wok, really really hot fire, and that's it.
See, all of those things I already have at home.
Why don't you cook it then?
I may well do that now. Sambal belacan. I have a big Tupperware thing full of it.
No, that's chincalok la.
No, it's belacan.
No, you told me you had a lot of chinchalok in your
fridge. I've got that too. I've got belacan too.
Oh, you can do that with chinchalok as well. Ah. Yeah, it works. Yeah.
See? When was the last time you were at my house, huh? Anyway.
Never.
Right, right. Okay. Right. So you started at this restaurant with your dad.
Mm-hmm.
The picnic, right?
Correct.
All about comfort food and the idea of kind of just getting food that you want to feel comfortable with. It's that bite that when you've had a hard day, it's the place to go to, right?
No, actually, the comfort food was the best label I could give to the sort of food that we were doing, because ultimately what guided me was I want food that makes me happy.
Right.
So that's what we sold. But to label anything other than comfort food was just too difficult for me.
Mm.
But the sort of food we had was it ranges from, you know, a pavlova, a really simple one, to like a Korean chili lamb cutlet. So it's all across the board. We had Korean, Japanese, French, Italian influences, everything from Southeast Asia as well. But what mattered the most was it was high quality ingredients at a fairly cheap price, and it's just great for families to come. So that was the guiding line for us.
Right. So the idea of like you seeing cooking as a profession,
mm-hmm.
you know, where did it stem from? Did you, were you one of these kids who were following your mum and dad around in the kitchen and seeing what they're doing and asking why they're doing it? Is that how it started?
Well, I don't know how you know, if you know, but my dad was a chef.
Right.
So when he was a chef back in Australia, so when we came back to Malaysia, he was working in a bank. And what he did was he would cook for us at home. I grew up without a mom, so it was more like daddy's cooking.
Mm.
And at the same time, he would entertain his friends, his clients at home. So I was the 9-year-old boy in a tuxedo carrying the plates from the table to the back. No, I swear, that was what I did.
Okay.
And after a while, you know, he started training me bit by bit. And then I would start making desserts for the adults, so they would like it, you know, a kid doing mm-hmm. a dessert.
Right.
And by the time I was 13, 14, I would do like a 3-course meal on my own.
So what was your first meal that you cooked?
The first dish was a crepe Suzette.
Ooh,
yeah, it was a
right.
crepe Suzette, yeah.
So, I mean,
he would make the crepe, uh-huh. I would make the sauce, but then I would flambé it.
Right.
Wow.
Yeah. It was
I mean,
was
it
fancy.
Must feel good, you know, for you and your dad to be doing this together, right?
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, I think we're extremely close, both of us. I can speak to him as a friend and as a son anytime, you know, it switches over. There's a very blurry line between the two. But running a business with him, though, that's a different story altogether. I had to cut off all ties for a bit and you know, just make sure that we were afloat and then get back to being the son again.
Wow.
Yeah.
That must have been tough.
Yeah, it was. But we got through it and it made us very much stronger.
Okay. Mm. Tell me about MasterChef Malaysia then. What kind of an experience was that?
Amazing.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not a fan of TV shows. I didn't want to be on TV. But because it was MasterChef, who doesn't like MasterChef, right?
Yeah.
And hearing it come to town, everyone's like, Nick, go, 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 you know, go for the audition. So I did, and I got in. But the experience-wise, I have to say that one thing that people don't notice is it's not just about the challenges that they're being thrown to you. It's also you being in quarantine, you know, no outside communication, not speaking to anyone, just doing what you know while you're in there. So you don't gain any more knowledge after
right.
you start, right?
Right.
And also just being under high pressure, like, you know, you have your black box and your mystery and all these different challenges all happening daily. Normally chefs would have that, like you have a year to prepare for each challenge, but we had that daily. So that high pressure environment really made you, well, it weeds out if you actually do want to do this for a living, if you actually do love food or not.
Right.
Yeah.
So you've got that kind of sink or swim, fight or flight mentality as
yeah.
well going
and
on.
And it's not just like a show. It actually builds you as a person as well. It gives you this high pressure environment that you barely get in the real world. Mm. So I think that was a great experience.
Were there moments when you were thinking to yourself, what the heck am I doing? Why am I doing this? Why am I putting myself through this?
It was never with the food. I think that those moments did come when it was a bit too much dramatization, you know, with the chefs. And they were saying things that weren't true. Like, for example, one of them was like, I don't think you respect me. And I'm like, dude, you got this wrong, man. I super respect you because my dad's a chef and I'm just afraid to speak to you. Mm. But they think that, you know, I was a bit snobbish.
Aye.
It came off as that. But, you know, regardless of all that, to me, the food was upfront and most important thing to me. And it made me realize that even more.
Right. So let's talk about your philosophy in your approach to food. I mean, you've thrown out this idea of like we said, kampung cooking and comfort food and whatever. When you look at the restaurants that are here in Malaysia, and we've got everything from like your cheapest roadside place all the way up to like super expensive restaurants, mm-hmm. you know. I mean, do you really think that they're... I don't know how to phrase this in a better way. I mean, the food that's available to us here is incredible, right? But if you were to define one set of, or just a few sets of real Malaysian food that anybody who comes to Malaysia needs to try. I mean, and I've asked this question before, and everybody gives a different answer. Mm-hmm. But there always seems to be this running theme throughout it. What would you say to somebody who's coming to Malaysia for the very first time? You have to eat XXX.
I agree with where you're coming from. Like, everyone will answer something different.
Right.
But that's just the way we are. We've just got right. so much to give. Mm. But I'll tell you what I do when I have... most of the time, it'll be like international chefs that come by, and they're like, Nick, take me out. My first stop will always, always, always be Jalan Alor.
Right, mm. same.
You know, you
same
sit
thing.
Down there,
same thing.
You know, you get the whole experience. You get the local nightlife.
Yeah.
You also get to meet the locals. You get that vibrancy of the culture. And at the same time, amazing food from, yeah. from different influences.
Yeah,
I mean, it's great.
It is. I mean, yeah. everybody that's come to visit me, that's the first place that I've taken them to.
Yeah, know? But some say they would go to nasi lemak restaurants,
right.
you know, nasi kanda and all. But I think Jalan Alor is still the best, man.
Yeah, because it will always... I mean, I've never had anyone that goes back with a bad memory.
Right,
yeah.
place, you exactly.
Know? Yeah.
I mean, like, nasi lemak, it's still... People that are not used to it, they'll be like... it was a bit too spicy.
Yeah.
It's a bit too salty. But then Jalan Alor is just, it hits the right spots.
Right. I mean, yeah.
and the chicken wing, the stingray, the kamyong lala. What else do you want, right?
Right. I mean, you know, people have said to me, you know, it's a tourist trap. You know, well, it is, but.
No, it's not. I disagree.
No, I mean, I think in that sense, okay.
I think only for you, like.
No.
Because
I mean,
even if you're white, they're going to judge you more, right?
I love the place, and I would happily go down there every day because, like you say, it gives me everything that I need to see when I want to say to people what Malaysia is. You know, it's not got the beaches, okay, it's not got the kampungs, but in terms of the warmth of the people there and the food that is available, and like you say, just the ambiance of the place, it's perfect.
It captures everything that needs to be told.
But there are people walking past trying to sell you stuff, you know? There is that.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
in terms of a tourist trap, mm. there is that kind of element mm-hmm. to it. But that's part of Malaysia too, and we shouldn't shy away from that, you know?
Okay. But, you know, that goes both ways. That goes both ways, too. Like, we have people selling the lasers and the selfie
yeah,
sticks.
Yeah, yeah. Right? Watches,
and
belts.
I just feel like I tune them out. Like, I don't
Same.
Care.
Same.
You want to do what you want to do. You want to sell, go
the
ahead.
Wooden basket yeah. thing? The wooden basket thing? Oh, my God.
Do they still have it?
Of course. Yes, they do.
Really?
The collapsing one, right?
Yeah. yeah.
But then also you have some very talented baskers that come
For sure.
by,
yeah.
and they do amazing songs. They can even You can even request songs from them and pay them, like, what, ₱5
yeah.
for, like, 2 hours?
Yeah.
Where else in the world can you get that?
Right,
like,
right.
What, 125 USD yeah. for music? You know?
I mean, on the flip side, I was there fairly recently, actually, with my family and a whole bunch of friends, and we're sat there, and the one song you know is going to be played sometime throughout the night is Oasis and Wonderwall.
I was about to say the same thing!
It's all,
You're right.
Every time, right?
You're right.
And you kind of hear it in the distance, like, an hour before, and you think, okay, it's going to be my turn soon. And then the guy comes along, and you're like, yeah, wait for it. No,
there it is.
No, don't want it. Right, take your ₱5, go and speak to the other guy at the end of the hall.
But
right.
I find myself still bobbing my head when I hear it, even
of
though
course.
I heard it an hour before. I'm still eating, talking to my friend. Somehow my head's just going like, mm-hmm, yep, yep. I know this song.
Oh, another chicken wing. I'll take that. Right. Okay. Right. Just before we wrap up for this segment, tell me a little bit about T-Twist.
T-Twist?
Yeah.
T-Twist is a show that I did 3 years ago, man.
I know. But the reason... I'm an Englishman.
Yeah, okay.
T is in my blood,
okay.
you know. So tell me about it.
T-Twist was... I was very proud of that show because it was my first show on AFC. It opened up a lot of doors for me. And the challenging thing about that show was Lipton came up to me and they were like, look, Nick, we want you to do a TV show on the Asian food channel, but with tea. So we're like, so what do I do? So I had to dig in deep and come up with crazy things like, you know, tea-crusted prawns. And at the same time, making up drinks like Mojito. Yeah, so it was an interesting experience, but I think it opened up a lot of doors for me. So I'm forever grateful for that show.
Right. What's on the future cards for you then, Nick? What do you think? What have you got planned down the road?
Down the road? A lot, man.
But you're still hosting for Cooking for Love 2, right?
Yes, Cooking for Love 2 just came on air a couple of weeks ago. Still ongoing right now. So that's the major thing that I just wrapped up. We just finished promotional work last week, so I was traveling to Singapore, to Hanoi, and I'm finally free for the rest of the year. So I'm just trying to keep it, you know, very, very free at the moment.
Right.
Yeah.
So don't call him. He's got work to do. Let him have a break.
You know? Don't call me on TV. On radio interviews.
All righty. We're going to take a short break. Of course, we'll be back after these messages with news from Page 2 and, of course, Smarty Pants. Here's the question, though.
What is the name of the restaurant that Nick and his father started up in KL in 2012? I'll send your name and your IC number to 016-201-9000. Don't forget to tell us where you deserve to win 2 single patty sets, all thanks to our friends at My Burger Lab.
We'll be right back. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
Now's the time to find your color, your paint, and everything to get started during red, white, and blue savings at the Home Depot. Transforming your room is easier than ever. With the best deals online and in-store, you can confidently select your color and the tools for your next paint project. Get a colorful new experience and the right paint for the right price. Save $10 on 1 gallon and $40 off 3 and 5 gallons for a limited time only at the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. Limit 25 gallons per household. See store for details.
BFM 89.9, The Business Station. It's that time of night. I'm Rich Bradbury.
And I'm Madeline Jones.
This is
Chef Nick Michael Imran.
If you've listened to the show before, you know we're at the portion of the show where we've got news from Page 2 and Smarty Pants coming up. If you've missed any part of the show so far, head over to the website, www.bfm.my. Download the podcast and listen later on your phone, in your car, on your headphones, all of that kind of stuff.
Are you done?
I'm done. We have a giveaway this evening, don't we?
Yes, we are. We're giving away 2 single patty burgers, all thanks to our friends at My Burger Lab. Now the question is, what is the name of the restaurant that Nick and his father started up in KL in 2012? Send your name and your IC number to 016-201-9000. Don't forget to tell us what you deserve to win.
Dun, dun, dun. Have a listen to this. It sounds a bit like news from Page 2.
Extra, extra! Shouting.
Now, I'll be talking about social media, Instagram.
You? Social media and Instagram? Never. It's a topic you're not familiar with at all. How can you tell
me?
Come on, expert. Give me some advice about Instagram, man. Come on.
Well, you have an Instagram account as well, right?
No.
I'm sure you do have.
I do. Yeah,
so
course.
Have you ever had, like, you know, people copying each and every post and destinations that, you know, you've been to?
Not that I know of.
No. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, this couple copied exactly the same photo, the sceneries, same seat. If they go to Copenhagen, if you go to Greece, you know, exactly the same photo. They took exactly the same to get more followers.
So somebody was, stalking other people?
They were stalking exactly the same thing, same people, wherever, let's say this guy went to, this couple, okay, it's mainly a couple. They went to Caprice, they went to Greece and a lot of other places. They sat down having a cup of tea, even in a swimming pool. And these two other couples went to the same place, same house, same hotel, same venue, took the same photos, posted up on Instagram.
I'd be mad. How did they know? How did they find out about
it? Same clothing as well.
How did they find out?
Obviously, you're going to stalk people on Instagram.
Yeah, but
it's all about
stalking. How do you know somebody's copying your photo, though? I mean, somebody must have told
them.
I think
it's the hashtag. So if you're going to screen through hashtags, you can see the same photos.
Right.
Obviously, if you like the photos, you're going like, hey, you know what? This is a great idea. I'm going to go to this place. I'm going to go to Greece. I'm going to swim this area. I'm going to take the same photos.
See,
because this person...
I get that. You know, I just went on my honeymoon in Maldives and I actually looked up on the hashtags and tried to see what would be a nice shot for my Instagram. I mean, you know...
But you don't copy exactly the same, right? You're not going to find the same outfit.
It's like this. You know, I may copy, we don't know how far we would actually copy something, but say I would copy something 100%. I think that's fine because it's just one post or maybe one location.
Right.
But to actually have an account to go to all these different places and follow every single one,
this couple have too much money.
Yeah.
But you remember this story about the holding hands one?
Oh yes, follow me kind of thing.
Take me too.
Yeah, that was it. Take me too. Yeah.
Everyone has been following the same photos.
Yeah.
I need to
up my hashtag game, don't I? You know, see, I don't think about this. You're on holiday in the Maldives. I'll just look at the Maldives. Oh, nice place to take a photo. I should be doing that. I'm not doing it. Thank you. I've learned something new today. Right. I want to talk about, it's still social media kind of related. It's about Tinder.
Oh,
right?
Your favorite.
My favorite topic. Tinder right now have just released this thing where you can now have 37 gender options, right?
What?
Yeah. What? So 37?
37. So you're not just male or female anymore, or male and female, or bisexual, or male, female, bisexual, pansexual. There are 37 different options that they're offering you right now. Also, a text field. If you don't fit into any one of these 37 categories, you can add your own. Yeah, Dan Lane. Well, I was trying to avoid politics, but there it is. But yeah, I mean, I don't know. Have we gone too far when you can't... I want to say this politically correctly, right? Where you can't identify with who you are and you're given 37 different options. Do we need that many options, do you think?
No.
Don't be quiet. Come on, give me your... Don't be scared.
No, this is a very tough line to tread.
Right.
But I would say, you know, if you really want to label something, why stop at 37?
Right, just keep going.
Someone will get offended,
right?
You know? But to me, at the end of the day, it's Tinder, you know?
Just...
Either not have any gender at all, or I just have two. But you want to go overboard?
Right.
For what?
But for me, if I were on Tinder, this would also help me weed out the people I definitely don't know that I don't want to contact, right? What does this girl identify herself as? Attack helicopter. No, maybe I don't want to
speak. Is there such a thing?
It's a text field. You can put in whatever you want.
Oh, right?
Just randomly picking something out, you know. But I don't know. I mean, I read it this morning and I'm like, this is just too much. It's gone a little bit too far, you know.
Maybe we should check it out later. I just deleted my Tinder.
You just deleted? Progress, is there? Progress.
You have enough space, lab, bro. It takes up so much space.
Too many matches, is it?
Right then. I know, Nick, you've got a wonderful story to share with us as well.
Yes, I do. Since we're talking about, you know, sexuality.
Ooh, wonderful.
Earlier this year, this British, semi-scientist.
Very close to Richard.
Well, they're a snail enthusiast, right? And what they found...
There are such things?
There are. And they're pretty serious. They're all science-y and stuff, you know. Mm-hmm. But anyway, so they had this snail by the name of Jeremy, not Richard, it's Jeremy.
Okay.
And he had this, okay, let me get this right. It's a left spiraling shell. So most snails have a right, it's on the right side where the spiral comes out. His is on the left. So they said that he's one in a million, and because of that, it's very hard for him to... go on a Tinder date.
Right.
Right, so...
He can't Netflix and chill, is what I mean.
You are correct. So, because of that, it was a very depressing and lonely story because he will never be able to mate ever again.
Mm.
And then last week, they found Lefty.
Lefty leaning. Oh.
They found another snail that can actually mate. So, basically, now both snails have their private parts in the wrong side, but now they can actually finally get it on. And the scientist that's actually looking at them... He described it as they're currently flirting, but as with all things snails, they take the time.
Oh my word!
So what a great
foreplay takes like overnight. Foreplay, you know, that's how long it takes.
Yeah, what a great story. Right, okay, we're gonna move on. Nick, we're gonna be testing your brains on Smarty Pants.
Oh no!
It sounds a little bit like this.
Smarty Pants. 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 Smarty Pants.
Okay, so the idea is 30 questions, 3 minutes, answer as many as you possibly can. Don't stick on a question if you don't know the answer, right? Move straight on.
Okay.
So your 3 minutes start now. Which footballer claimed that his handball goal against England in 1986 was the hand of God? Was it Diego Maradona or Pele?
Maradona.
Which four-letter word beginning with E means to resound? Echo or ergo?
Eco. Echo.
Correct. Who wrote the novel The Da Vinci Code? Dan Brown or
Brown.
Correct. The Stinking Rose is another name for which herb? Garlic or parsley? Oh, no. Yes, correct. No. What does S represent in the periodic table of elements? Sulfur or saline?
Saline.
Sulfur. Which famous British graffiti artist describes himself?
Banksy.
Correct. Sago is extracted from which plant? Coconut or palm?
Sago.
Yes.
Coconut. Papam.
Correct. The goat represents which sign of the zodiac? Capricorn or Sagittarius? Also known as the ram.
Capricorn.
Correct. The Interlagos Formula One racing circuit is in which country? Argentina or Brazil?
I want to say Argentina.
Oh, it should have gone the other way. Microphobia is the irrational fear of what? Small things or big things?
Small things.
Jason Voorhees is a fictional character who uses a machete on his victims in which series of films? Texas Chainsaw Massacre or Friday the 13th?
Friday the 13th.
What was the middle name of the US inventor Thomas Edison? Alva or Albus?
Alva.
Correct. Asturias, Aragon, and Murcia are regions in which European country? Mexico or Spain?
Spain.
It's actually Mexico, and somebody put down European country, so somebody wants slapping.
Yeah, so yeah, that's why. I'm like,
my word.
Easy.
Right. In which U.S. city are the Academy Awards held, L.A. or New York?
L.A.
Correct. What is the name of the poltergeist who haunts Hogwarts School in the Harry Potter series of novels? Peeves or Poles?
Peeves.
Correct. Terra is the Latin name for which planet in our solar system, Earth or Mars?
Mars.
It's Earth.
Oh.
Pomology is the study of what? Fruit production or soil?
Come again?
Pomology. Pomology. Soil or fruit production?
Soil.
Correct. Which? Correct, I said. It's fruit production. Yay. Which plant, is known as the pie plant? Rhubarb or onion?
Rhubarb.
Correct. Oh, if you're a British student, you know that. In the game of chess, what does GM stand for? Grandmaster or Game Master?
Grandmaster.
Which business directory had the Walking Fingers logo? Yellow Pages or MYOB?
Yellow Pages.
Correct. The sclera is the white outer layer of which part of the human body? Fingernails or eyeball?
Nails.
It's eyeball.
Oh, man.
What is the name of Inspector Gadget's dog in the children's TV cartoon series Inspector Gadget? Is it Brain or Gidget?
Brain.
Correct. What is a temperature of 0 degrees Kelvin, also known as chilling point or absolute zero?
Absolute zero.
Correct. In computing, what is a picture or design displayed on the background of a computer screen known as a wallpaper or a background icon?
Wallpaper.
Nanophilia is a strong attraction to what type of person? Short people or tall people?
Philia. Short.
Correct. I'll give you one more question. What was the name of the backing group of the British singer Jerry Marsden? The Pacemakers or the Diamonds?
The Pacemakers.
Correct. We're out of time. We'll be right back after these messages. We'll find out how well Chef Nick did. Don't go anywhere. You listen to BFM 89.9, the business station. BFM 89.9, the business station. It's that time of night. I'm Rich Bradbury.
And I'm Madeline Jung.
This is
Chef Nick Michael Imran.
He's still here. We've not scared him off. A few more minutes yet before he disappears. We'll find out how well he did in Smarty Pants in a few minutes. But of course, we have a giveaway. 016-201-9000. You've got about 3 minutes if you want to take part. Here's the question.
Now, what is the name of the restaurant that Nick and his father started up in KL in 2012? Send your name and your IC number to 016-201-9000. Don't forget to tell us why you deserve to win 2 sets of petty burgers, all thanks to our friends at My Burger Lab.
So, as usual, Nick, what we're going to do is go through some of the questions you got wrong to make you feel terrible, and then we'll tell you how well you did.
Not that bad, lah. Okay, the first one, what does S represent in the periodic table? Is sulfur. The Interlagos Formula One racing circuit is in which country? Is Brazil. Terra is the Latin name for which planet in our solar system?
I knew
is
that
Earth.
One. I knew that one.
The sclera is the white outer layer for which part of the human body? It's eyeball.
Right, let's have a drum roll.
Ladies and gentlemen, Nick, Michael, Imran scored 22 points.
It's not bad.
That's not bad.
It's respectable out of 26 questions.
26. Yeah. Pretty all right.
My ego is intact.
If you could have read faster, you could have finished 30
questions. Have you seen how long these sentences are?
Blame a fire intern.
Blame my fire intern? Okay, I'll do that. Fire intern, you are fired. Henry, fired. 3 times now, right? We've fired him 3 times. He just keeps coming back. I don't know what the issue is. Every time I come in the office, he's sat there. You know, I said you're fired yesterday. Here he is. Anyway,
I just want to say thank you to Henry for letting me know that Mexico is in Europe.
Right,
thank
right, right, right.
Thank you.
Do you want to thank him again for getting your name wrong in the email as well? I mean,
let's
just do that. Let's just see, watch him go redder and redder and redder as he sat here in the corner. But
let me just clear it out with you, okay? Nick is a family name. Michael is from Michael Jackson. Imran is from Imran Khan. Now, you'll never forget my name.
There you go. Right. Of course, it has been Smarty Pants. We've had a lot of fun with that. But we've got some facts we want to throw out. But Nick, what we want to do first before we get onto the facts is to throw people towards your social media, you know, where they can find and follow and see all the stuff that you're doing and what you're up to. Where can they find you on the internet?
I think the most active one I'm on right now is on Instagram.
Hashtags.
No hashtags at the moment. I'm still working on that. You know, got to up my hashtag game. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But it's NIK9 _.
Well, that's easy to remember, is it not?
Thank you very much. Right. Come on.
It's again.
NIK9 _.
All right. Mm-hmm. Okay. So for the end of the show, we've got some silly facts.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let's let people know the answer to the question first, though. Nick, what was the name of the restaurant that you and your dad started back in 2012?
picnic.
There you go. If you answered correctly, you may well be hearing from us at the end of the show. Now then, facts, Adeline, what have you got?
So did you know that J.K. Rowling invented Quidditch in a pub?
Yep. Next.
What else do you have? Why don't you go first?
All right, okay. Did you know that on November 9th, 2016... you know when people go to Google and they type how did, and it gives you a bunch of suggestions, right? Mm. The top how did question on Google was, how did Trump win? There you go.
Something to ponder.
Yeah, something to ponder. I'll leave you with that. Ladies and gentlemen, it has been that time of night. I've been Rich Bradbury.
And I've been Adeline Jones.
This has been
Chef Nick Michael Imran.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. I had a fun.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.
Now's the time to find your color, your paint, and everything to get started during Red, White, and Blue Savings at the Home Depot. Transforming your room is easier than ever. With the best deals online and in-store, you can confidently select your color and the tools for your next paint project. Get a colorful new experience and the right paint for the right price. Save $10 on 1 gallon and $40 off 3 and 5 gallons for a limited time only at the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. Limit 25 gallons per household. See store for details.